Listen, Jesus did rise from the dead. Amen. And you know what that means? It means that everything God said in God's Word is absolutely perfect and absolutely true. It means that every promise is true.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians continues. The message today is entitled, The Resurrection of Christ. Now let's join Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Man, we're just about finished with this great epistle. What a wonderful study it has been. And we're going to look this morning at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first 19 verses have to do with that. And then the remaining verses, verses 20 through 58, have to do with the resurrection of the believer, the Christian. But we're just going to cover the 19 verses this morning. And what's interesting about this chapter is these 58 verses give us the most in-depth teaching on the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus found anywhere in the Bible. Not only that, in chapter 15, we're going to find the first heresy in the early church there, and that would be, of course, denying the bodily resurrection of our Lord, which we'll look at in just a moment. And he's going to be, of course, Paul, he's getting ready to bring correction to that issue here at this young church. Remember, only 4 years old, maybe, and a divided church, suing one another, getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. This church was really just a mess. So Paul is going to bring correction this one last time here about the issue of the bodily resurrection of our Lord. Look at verse 12 with me. We're going to come back to verse 1, but just look at verse 12. Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, meaning the resurrection of our Lord, how do some among you, not everyone, but how are there those that are at Corinth that say there is no resurrection of the dead? Now that's what Paul is going to be correcting, and we're going to look at that this morning. Listen, loved one, how horrible would it be had Jesus Christ not risen from the dead? And that's what Paul is going to be talking about. He's going to give them the if statements, if you will, over and over and over, and challenge their thinking and challenge their heart. So let's look at verse 1 this morning. And remember, it's important that you understand something, that when we enter into chapter 15, this now has been 27 years since Jesus has risen from the dead. Of course, he ascended, he's in heaven and so forth, but it's been 27 years. So Paul writes and he says this. He says, moreover, brethren, I remind you, or I make known to you, that's what that word declare means, to you the good news of the gospel which I preached to you, now watch carefully, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, meaning the good news, unless you believed for no purpose at all, unless you believed and had absolutely no effect upon you. That's what Paul is saying when he uses that word vain. So when Paul says to them, I want to remind you, he says, I want to bring it all back to your attention one more time about the greatest message ever given to man. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. That not only was he crucified and he died, yes, he was buried, yes, he was, but thank God he rose from the dead and he liveth forevermore. Amen. And Paul says, let me remind you of that. Now listen carefully. If Paul had to remind a four-year-old church, that's how old this carnal church was in Corinth, how much more does he need to remind us, a 2,000-year-old church, so familiar with the resurrection of our Lord? Amen. Very important that we see that this morning. So Paul says, you know what? I preached the good news to you. You heard it. You received it. And when you did, something happened to you, just like something happened to us. He uses that word there. He says, you received, just like we received. That's something that happened to them in the past. They received the good news about Jesus Christ, and they believed upon that. Remember, the Bible teaches us in John's Gospel, chapter 1 it is, verse 10, where it talks about Jesus, that he came to his own, yet his own received him not, but as many as received him, believed in their heart, okay? To them, he gave them the authority to be called the children of God or the sons of God, because they believed upon his name. So Paul says, listen, don't you remember what happened to you? We should remember that as well. You did something. You received that good news. And then he gave that other word. He says, in which you stand. Now, that's a present issue. That's something that they're doing right now. Listen to me. If there is no resurrection of the dead, if Jesus did not rise, we have nothing to stand upon. Amen? We have no foundation. Not any at all. That's why Paul, he's reminding them. He's saying, listen, the good news of Jesus Christ is not a theory. It's not a myth. Man, it's a divine fact from heaven. Jesus Christ is alive. So he's reminding this church. And then he uses another word. He says, not only did you receive it, not only do you stand upon it, present tense, right now. He said, but also, he said, you are saved, or literally, if you read it in the Greek, it was literally being saved. So he looks now to the future. Do you know that we are being saved right now from glory, right, to glory to glory? It's into the future. Listen, the Lord is going to complete everything he started in you. Amen? And as we look unto him, the author, the finisher of our faith, it says that we are being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's what's happening there in Corinth. And then he said this in verse 3. He says, for I delivered to you first of all, that means first in importance, that which I also, what? Received, that Christ Jesus, or Christ, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So Paul says, listen, I gave to you what I received. Paul says, I didn't invent the good news. I didn't invent the resurrection. I didn't have anything to do with it. All I did is I received that good news. Now listen, when did Paul receive the good news? Remember after the Damascus Road experience, when Jesus himself, the ascended Christ, led him to the Lord where he believed in him? And then what did Paul do? He went into the desert of Arabia. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, I make known unto you, brethren, that the good news or the gospel which was preached by me, listen carefully, is not according to man. Man's wisdom, man's intellect had absolutely nothing to do with it. There's not a trace of human wisdom in the good news. Amen? He says, for I neither received it, meaning the good news, the gospel, from man, nor was I taught it. In other words, Paul says that the apostles, they didn't teach me one thing. He says, but it came through, here it is, how Paul received the gospel, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus himself was Paul the apostle's only instructor. The gospel is a supernatural gospel, and it's given supernaturally from heaven. Amen? And that is a good word to us today. Paul said, let me remind you, man. He says, I didn't invent it, I received it. And let me remind you the first thing that Jesus told me there in the deserts of Arabia. The very first thing that Jesus told me, the most important thing that he wanted to get to me immediately, the one who persecuted the church, the one who made havoc of the church, he said, is that Christ Jesus died for our sins. That's the greatest news in the world, amen? That our sins have been paid for by our Lord, loved one. Listen, God loves you. God loved Paul and the rest of them. God loved the church at Corinth and the church at Fort Worth, Calvary Chapel, so much that God himself went up to the cross, didn't he? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John the Baptist, what did he cry out when Jesus was coming forth to be baptized by him? He said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that not only takes away our sins, but the sins of all the world. I'm so thankful our sins have been taken away. And meaning, like it says in Psalm 103:12, listen, our sins have been taken away, removed from us, canceled, gone as far as the east is from the west. They're gone, loved one. Why would we want to cling to something that has been completely paid for? Amen? Now, with all that being said, our sin, so important, these first few verses, that which completely separated us from God, that which we could never pay for, our sin. But it had to be paid for. Someone must pay for our sin because you know why? We couldn't. Man could never do it. So God did it. What we were not able to do, God did for us. Remember what it says in Romans 6:23? It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. That means not physical death, remember. That means eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In other words, sin pays, the wages of sin. Sin always has a payday. At the end of the life, if you don't know Christ, there's your sin. You have to pay for it. Pay for what Jesus has already paid for. But he says, oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life in and only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Whenever the angel appeared to Joseph, remember in Matthew 1:21, he told him, he said, Joseph, you will call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. John writes later on in 1 John 3:5, I believe it is, it says, and we know that he was manifested for our sins, and in him there is no sin. Jesus died on the cross for us, amen? He died on the cross for the world. Now listen, it says that he died according to the scriptures. Now that means that Jesus' death was not an accident. However, Paul is telling the church at Corinth, if you believe there is no resurrection of the dead, then you're telling me that Jesus' death wasn't something that God planned. It was something, it's just a horrible tragedy. It means that Jesus Christ was only a man. He wasn't God. He wasn't that at all. And he died a terrible death and nothing happened on the cross. He just died. He didn't defeat death. He didn't defeat the grave. He didn't defeat the devil. And he certainly did not defeat our sin. That's what Paul is trying to get across, or he is getting across to the church at Corinth. And then he says, and that he was buried, meaning our Lord, buried in that tomb, rolled the stone upon it, remember? And that he rose again, or literally he rose and is alive, and he will never ever die again. Jesus is alive this moment. And look, and what day was it? The first day? No, Jesus didn't. It had to be not the second day, but only the third day when Jesus rose from the dead according to the scriptures. So we go from the cross to the seminary to a calendar day, just like God says. Loved one, listen, as you know and I know, Jesus died a real death, didn't he? Yeah. He was placed in a real tomb. Remember what Pilate did? Pilate sealed that tomb, said, oh yeah, make it as sure as you can. And then he even stationed a Roman guard there to guard it as well. And you know what? It says, according to the scriptures. Why did God put that in there? Because the Lord wants every person to know that he has given unto mankind supernatural facts about the death of the greatest man that ever lived, who is still alive today, Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave all these supernatural facts. In other words, think about the death of Jesus. Have you ever wondered why it was so cruel? Why it was so violent? Why the Roman soldiers did all the wicked, horrible things to him that they did? I mean, why didn't they just wipe him out? Why didn't they just kill him? Why did they have to brutalize our Lord? Why did they have to bind him and put a sack over his head and the Roman soldiers come and start beating Jesus in the face? And say unto him, prophesy unto us if you be the Son of God. Who is smiting you right now? Who's hitting you? Why did they have to spit in his face? Why did they have to grab his beard and jerk his beard out from his face? Why did they have to take a cat of nine tails full of glass and lead and pieces of bone and rip his back to pieces? Why did they do that? Why didn't they just crucify him and get it over with? You know why? Because he died, he was buried, He was raised according to the Scriptures. You see, whenever we see all the events in the life of Christ, all we have to do is go back into the Word of God and see all the supernatural facts that spoke of the death of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? It says in Isaiah, for example, chapter 50, verse 6, written 1,000 years before the crucifixion, loved one. It says, talking about Jesus, the Messiah, it says, I gave, that means of my own volition, I gave my back to those who struck me. I gave my cheek to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You see, it was all according to the Word of God. It was all prophesied how the Messiah would come and how he would die and the horrible death that he would die. If you go back 1,000 years, you know, let me ask you, why did they have to put nails in his hand and nails in his feet? Why did they have to pierce him like that? Because the Bible said it was going to happen. Written 1,000 years before it ever occurred, the great messianic psalm in Psalm 22, when it says in verse 16, he cries out, oh, dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked, they've enclosed me. He goes, and they have pierced my hands. And if you look in your Bible, there's a capital M, my hands, my feet. I can count all my bones. That's a picture of Jesus up on the cross, looking at his own body, what they've done to him. He said, oh, they looked at me and they stared at me. Why? Because they gambled for his garments. Why did they do that? Why did they do that 1,000 years later? Because it was according to the Scriptures, the Word of the living God. And there's many, many, many more Scriptures that could be applied to what we're speaking about right now. And they all came true in just one man, and that is our Lord. Listen, Jesus did rise from the dead. Amen? And you know what that means? It means that everything God said in God's Word is absolutely perfect and absolutely true. It means that every promise is true. Let me just give you one. Let's take Ephesians 1:3, for example. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You already are blessed. You're not only blessed, loved one, you actually have it all. Even Paul the Apostle, what did he say to the church at Corinth? He said, you know what? All things are yours. You're co-heirs with Christ. Those are true words. And I think, oh, Lord, all your promises, even your Word of God, yes, every dot or tittle, Jesus said, remember? The dot of the tittle, the crossing of the T, the dotting of an I. He said, even that will never pass away. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away. Whenever Jesus rose from the dead, it proved that God was true. It proved that all the prophets were true. And you know what it proved? It proved that Noah and the ark were true. Amen. Jonah and the whale, or the big fish, what, it doesn't matter what it was. It was big. It swallowed him. How would you like to be in that predicament? It's true. Jesus is really coming back. That's true. There really is a heaven. That's true. You know, President Bush, when he was passing, James Baker was there, his dear friend of all those years, and came in and was talking to him. He said, are you wanting to live to be 100? And he says, no. He says, I want to go to heaven and I want to go home now. See, he believed in heaven. Heaven really is real. See, when Jesus rose from the dead, it proved that everything God said is real and it's true. And not only that, hell's a real place too. The lost are in trouble. They need to know Christ. You know, he says there in verse 5, and he, meaning Jesus, watch this now, he was seen. In other words, he appeared after his resurrection to look at the first one he did to Cephas or Peter. That's the one who denied him. He says, and then to the 12, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at one time or at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have what? Fallen asleep. That word is a word only used for Christians. Christians, you know, our body falls asleep, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Amen? We don't die. See, if we believe in Jesus, it says we shall never see death. Amen? Never see death. Oh, yes, we'll die. Just this crummy body. You know what I mean? Oh, it's going to be a glorious moment. Yes. No, that's what the resurrection is all about. He says, oh, some have fallen asleep. He said, but after that, he was seen by James. Now, that was the Lord's half-brother. By then, all the apostles, remember there in Acts chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3, where it says that Jesus presented himself after his resurrection, presented himself alive after the suffering or after his suffering. And it says that he, by many infallible proofs, and for 40 days he appeared unto the disciples. And what was he doing? Remember, teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen, the Lord, he is alive. He is alive right now. And so he was seen by James. He was seen by all the apostles. Now, let me ask you a question. There's so many, you know, today people have all types of theories about the Lord. It's really foolish, I think. But, you know, do you think there's over 10 appearances now in the Bible of the resurrected Lord appearing before he ascended to heaven. Do you think all those people lied? I mean, let's just try to get us in here, and we can all lie about one thing. There's no way we're the church. This side will be divided. This side, you know, come on, we'll form a committee over here, and, you know, come on. We can't get an agreement over anything except we all want Dallas to win, maybe. Maybe. No, these eyewitnesses were not liars. Do you understand? They didn't lie. Listen, loved one, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, one of the lies is, well, he did not rise and didn't have a body. He had a spiritual body, but not a body. No, loved one, that's not true. Was he able to walk through walls? Huh? Come on, you can talk. This first service, I love you more than the second. Did he walk through the walls? Of course he did. There in John, what was it, 20, when he appeared to the disciples, and then later on, Thomas came in, and, you know, and Jesus walked right through the wall and said, hey, guys, peace be unto you. He didn't use a door. How cool is that? And, you know, you see that door right there? You got a code. If you don't know the code, you can't go through the door. But if when you have a resurrected body, you just walk right through it. Did Jesus eat? Yes. Did Jesus cook after his resurrection? Come on, boys. Got a little fish going here. Come on, a little honeycomb. Come on, let's eat. Yeah, listen. Did he have flesh and bone? Yes, he did. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Look, I have flesh and bone. Touch me, hold me. They touched him. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, loved one, he had a glorified, supernatural, unbelievable body. Amen? Yeah, and that's the kind of body we're going to get. But here's the question. Do you think all of those people lied? No. I mean, how about the women? You think the women would lie? They came back to the disciples and said, oh, listen, we came, there was an angel sitting there, and the stone had been rolled away. Did they lie? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, did they lie? No. How about Peter and Andrew and Philip and John and Simeon and all the Bartholomew, all the rest of them? Do you think they lied? They were all crucified. Do you think that they would die to maintain a lie? You know, there are men who die for a lie, but they believe that the lie that they died for is not a lie, but a truth. And then you have those who die because they know that it's not a lie, and it is a truth. You see, Jesus is alive. Jesus is present with us right this moment, isn't he? Amen, loved one. He really, really is. And look what Paul says in verse 8. He says, and then last of all, he was seen by me also. Now remember Paul there on the Damascus Road. He was going to make havoc of the churches. He was locking up women and children and putting them in prison, making them recant the name of Christ. And he says, then I saw him, the last one, as one born out of due time. Literally that word means like a stillborn abortion, if you will. And the reason? Oh, because I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. And here's why. Because I persecuted the church of God. Remember, he made havoc of the church. But by the grace of God, that unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, that's what grace is. I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me.
Well, we're out of time for this broadcast and for the week, but Pastor Bill will be back on Monday with the conclusion to today's message. So please join us once again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, we want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.